What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 262 on this Friday, April 10th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Colin Kennedy with you on a Friday. It's a football Friday. Spring camp winding down. The spring game is next weekend. Another busy week of camp coverage. Colin and I are going to wrap it all up. Who have been the biggest risers? Who's done the best for themselves the last few weeks? Fun discussion. We're going to get into that. I've got some names. Colin's got some names. We're going to kind of sift through on the show today. And of course, Fridays / Thursdays, we talk recruiting, some recruiting news and notes as well that we'll want to hit off the top. Obviously, a very big recruiting weekend coming up next weekend with the spring game. We'll kind of start to dabble a little bit in that on the show today. So it's a packed Football Friday show. Send you on your way into your April weekend. And get ready for what's going to be a very big week next week with the spring game and all that good stuff. A reminder, though, before we get started, subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Promo code SoonersPod60. That'll get you 60% off a VIP membership to 247 Sports and Sooners Illustrated, the entire 247 Sports network. So be sure to take advantage of it. Use that promo code. Be with us every single day over at Sooners Illustrated. All right, CK. Glad you made it back. You were up in Norman. Obviously, this week helping out with camp coverage. Just kind of feels like the gap weekend. Like last weekend was Easter weekend, which is a big, you know, family holiday weekend. Next weekend is spring game weekend, which is going to be a big thing. This is like the gap. This is like catch your breath for a second, hopefully, and then get ready for what should be a really busy week next week and a busy weekend next week. And I'm looking forward to it, though. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this weekend I'm going to a 7-on-7 tournament that I really do not want to go to, if I'm quite frank with you. But to your point, it feels like this is that last weekend before the reward of a spring game,
yes.
Pads on, pads popping, recruits in the stands. Talk to a lot of people in the buildup. You know, Oklahoma's obviously hoping for another 50 to 70K type crowd there for the spring game. It's always cool. You know, there's that narrative sometimes that like a spring game or spring practices can be a little anticlimactic, which I totally get. But I'm always appreciative of the fact that in our sphere, in the Oklahoma sphere, the spring game is a true event. And I can't wait for it, man. It's subtly one of my favorite weekends of the year.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's carrying a little bit of extra juice just because they didn't have it last year. You know, I mean, nothing I think is ever going to match Brent's first year just with all the circumstances around that and the fact it was Baker got a statue. Like, you're never going to repeat that. But this should be pretty good. I think it'll be a pretty good turnout. Hopefully the weather holds up. There's some rain. It's early. Yeah. A week is a long time in Oklahoma weather forecast. But I think there's an appetite for it because there is excitement around what they did last season and what they hope to do this season. And just the fact we didn't have it last year, you know, and the fact, I mean, I've said it before, like spring camp, it always feels like it's kind of building toward the spring game. So last year it was like, we didn't get that finality in a weird way. It was kind of like, all right, it's just kind of over.
You mean to tell me the Crimson Combine didn't like scratch your itch a little bit?
No.
My offer still stands. If anyone has Crimson Combine memorabilia or gear, I will buy it just to have in the office.
It's a select few because the crowd, not large. I think it'll be much bigger next weekend.
I hope so.
In Norman. And going to be a lot of recruits, obviously. It's a very big recruiting weekend, always. It has been for a long time for Oklahoma, predating Brent Venables, and they've continued that, obviously. It is one of the bigger weekends of the year. Next week on the show, obviously, Colin and I will set the table for that, and Colin will hit a bunch of the names and hopefully have a visitor list for our VIP members, all that good stuff before next weekend. We'll dabble a little bit of that in that today. Let's go ahead and start there, and then we'll get into camp stuff. Colin, you had the news this morning about a very interesting name that I'm not going to attempt to say. You can attempt to say it, but the new edge offer in 2027. Obviously, we talked about this class has been spectacular, right? It's coming together phenomenally, 20 guys in the boat, obviously with Coughran, the latest pickup on the offensive line, whenever that was, I guess that was early last week. Get into, I know you wanted to make sure you noted on the show today, as far as a new edge that's kind of emerged that is intending to be in town on that visitor list next weekend in Norman.
Yeah, so Uila Wolfgram, all-time name team, by the way. What a last very name good. Wolfgram yes. is. He got his Oklahoma offer, and during that week, we didn't get to talk about it because we had a lot of other stuff to get to. But it's one thing to get the offer. It's another to see that mutual interest pick up over time, right? Sometimes an offer goes out and really not much else happens after that. This is picking up in a hurry. So Wolf Graham, 6'3", 245 pounds, out in the state of Utah, which is becoming a state of interest for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
This is a big one. I think this is a guy worth getting to know for Oklahoma fans. We have seen the Sooners not only pull the trigger, make the offer. Stacy Ford is leading the way here, among others. So one of OU's best recruiters getting after it with another prospect from out west. Wolf Graham is an ascending talent. He's, over the last few weeks, seen his stock rise to a degree. This one has Michigan, UCLA, BYU, Utah, Arizona State, North Carolina, several programs in the mix. And I actually talked to the dad of a recruit whose son is going to be visiting for the spring game. And that recruit dad had watched Wolf Graham in person. And he saw the news we put out this morning and was like, "Hey man, just want to let you know that guy's legit. Like he gets after it." And I quickly want to touch on that. You know, Wolf Graham is a violent football player, a very violent, aggressive, hard-nosed football player who dominates at the level of competition that he's at. And numerous offers have gone in, and he's really starting to dive into his recruiting process. So Oklahoma is battling Michigan here primarily. He just went out to see the Wolverines. And that new Michigan staff, if you'll remember, a decent amount of them came from Utah. And with that group, their time with the Utes, they actually recruited Wolf Graham pretty heavily before taking this job. So he has a number of connections already in Ann Arbor. And then, oh, by the way, you go to a place like the University of Michigan, like that experience is going to blow you away, especially you have familiar faces to help you ease into the scenery. And so Michigan has surged, but Oklahoma, man, like there's a lot to like here. It's clear that the staff is a fan of his. And the other part of this too, you know, OU, for having 20 pledges in a number one rated class, has one edge commit.
Right.
That said, they've got a couple of spots they want to fill there. And the other layer to this is that one edge commit, being Crew Jones, is from the state of Utah. And Crew Jones knows Uila Wolf Graham. And so that's a relationship that Oklahoma could use to its advantage in pursuit of another edge pledge to go with Crew Jones. And Wolf Graham is going to be taking his first ever visit to Oklahoma for the Sooner spring game. So again, they have 20 pledges. They can be selective, but there are spots to fill. And on the checklist is definitely defensive end. Wolf Graham taking his first ever trip to Norman here pretty soon, and a newer name to the board. Just wanted to talk about where things stand with him. And also worth noting, too, this is a guy who knows Bodie Sparrow as well, another Utah prospect that Oklahoma is after heavily. So Wolf Graham, one that as weeks are going by, more and more of one for OU fans to familiarize themselves with.
Yeah, state of Utah being kind to Oklahoma right now, which is kind of fun, a little different. Yeah, no, I mean, he's an exciting player. Just, you know, first thing you notice is the name. It's like, whoa, that's a electric name, Wolf Graham, obviously. But then you look at the next thing that grabs you is just his picture. Just go to his profile. You don't have to watch tape. Big dude. I mean, big dude. Hall of Fame neck on this guy. He's someone that is already big, and you figure, you know, college nutrition and weight room, like he's going to move some mass. You know, he's just an exciting guy. And so, like you noted, only have the one edge. I mean, it's a really good one in Crew Jones, but, you know, could you throw another one with him in the class, which is already, you know, you're just trying to, the class is fantastic, right? It's 20 guys, it's ranked number one, but you're trying to button up the little bit of holes, if you want to call it that you have left. And getting a second edge would be nice to go with Crew. So definitely a fun name, and one that we'll be keeping an eye on next weekend, making his way to Norman, and should be a pretty, I mean, just based on what you said and just kind of, you know, chatting about it off air and stuff, but should be a pretty darn good visitor list next weekend, it sounds like. I mean, I'm thinking it's going to be pretty stout. A lot of big name talent going to be in town.
Yeah, I'm really interested because in 2027, to what you're talking about, obviously the spring game, you're hoping to get your like priority targets for that cycle on campus. Well, they have 20 commits already. So what I'm curious to see is what the 2027 group looks like, because there really aren't a ton of names like realistically pressing to get on campus for the spring game, right? But Wolf Graham, certainly one of them, because like you mentioned, it's a great class. Now you're starting to put those final pieces to the puzzle together. And so I think that they want to get probably two more edge rushers in the class. Is Wolf Graham one of them? Maybe. Who else might be there? Like, does a Miles Smith or a Sam Nelson show up? Like, we'll find out next week and we'll talk about it. But for Wolf Graham specifically, like, this is a guy with a number of connections. The staff likes him. And, you know, when you get that first trip to an experience like the spring game, I'm very interested to see how this goes.
For sure. And like you said, we'll set the table for the spring game in full next week as far as the recruiting angle, the game itself as well, obviously, but the recruiting side of it and some of the names you need to know. Be sure to subscribe. But we'll get into some of those names certainly on the show next week, next Thursday. Just keep an eye out for that. As far as the actual camp itself and the current team, third week of spring camp in the books. It was a great week of coverage for us as Sooners Illustrated. The access, I've said it before, the access has been tremendous this month. Brent Venables, Mike Houck, shout out. It's been very, very good. And it was great again this week. Tuesday night, got to talk to Brent Venables, handful of players. Yesterday, we were out at practice, got to talk to a bunch of more players, including a bunch of transfers that obviously we met at the media day. But now you fast forward a few weeks, they've actually been practicing and been around their team, getting to circle back with Cole Sullivan and Bishop Thomas, Hayden Hansen, Mackenzie Aline. These are names that guys that was fun to get to catch up with and talk to again yesterday after obviously a few weeks of practice. Anything that jumped out to you from this week? I mean, I have a couple of things I can throw out there, but just for you, I mean, whether it was Brent or the practice or a player you talked to, I mean, just anything to kind of wrap up this week as we kind of get into the home stretch of camp here with this spring game next weekend.
I want to let you lead the way. I'm curious for some of your takeaways, especially as someone who, you know, if you're out there and you haven't looked, go check out the video reel and cut up that Josh put together. Always does a great job with those. Being behind the camera, you know, filming all of it, I want to know what stood out to you first.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say two things, one good and one not good. We'll start with good. The talk at camp has been the run game, right? I mean, that's all the push is running the football. That's been the goal of the really the offseason, but especially this camp. And obviously, Brent Venables has talked about that very openly, and Ben Arbuckle. And Hayden Hansen was electric yesterday talking about it. He said it's here and it's good or whatever he said. I was in the scrum. You were in the scrum. And it's hard not to kind of feel that. I mean, look, the running back room is beat up right now. Obviously, Xavier Robinson, Torrey Blaylock are on the shelf. But these young guys, Hatton and Walker, you throw in a Lloyd Avant, looking the part, and just the returns that I've gotten, just obviously we're out there and we see it, but also just talking to people around the program. I know you're in the same boat. There's a lot of belief that the tight end room and the offensive line is holding up pretty well. Like they should be able to run the ball. I think there's a lot of confidence in that. And obviously they had the scrimmage last week. And even though, and look, it's a scrimmage, it's April, like full acknowledge. But even though they didn't have X-Rob or Torrey Blaylock, they ran the ball in that scrimmage. Lloyd Avant had some nice moments. Jonathan Hatton had some nice moments. Certainly, we've talked about Devin Walker. It certainly looks the part as well. So just that has been a very positive development in that the early returns on that this team is going to be able to run the football, because they haven't been able to do that in a while. There's a lot of belief. And again, I think everyone's going to be a little bit of like a show me in games, which is more than fair. But this tight end room and this offensive line – but especially the tight end room, like they should be able to set some edges and run the ball. I think you feel pretty good about where that's at right now. So that's a positive thing. If you want to bounce off that first before I do the negative thing.
No, I'll back you up. One of my big takeaways, everyone's talking about the running backs, Lloyd Avant. He just looks really smooth. You can tell he's got that veteran presence to him. And I don't know that he's getting enough credit for what he's provided.
I'm starting to like Lloyd Avant. I'm starting to come around to that.
Look, man, I've told this story before, but people don't know. Like, when he was about to go into the portal back when he was at Tulsa, you know, my guy Jeremy Poplin shared the story, like LSU was sniffing around that guy at one point. And I mean, I think Lloyd Avant's a really quality football player. You can tell, like, watching him go out and run routes, like, just smooth operator. And so he's savvy. I like him a lot. It's no secret the tight end room, you know, quick plug, I put up like a 2,000-word team notebook a few days ago, and one source put it to me. I don't know that I can say it exactly, but Hayden Hansen is a BA. Like, you can tell everybody loves that guy. And heard Rocky Beers has just been awesome as like a competitive catch guy, has been really reliant. But feeding off, like, to really back it up, maybe one of the under-discussed layers has been the development of this offensive line. You know, every time we get to see that group, man, like, you can tell that they've taken a step physically. Fasusi, Foje, Ozaida, EPL, Michaela getting back. Like, they look bigger and stronger and more athletic. And a guy that I'm getting ready to talk about here pretty soon, too, contributing to that group. Like, I don't know. That was a positive for me, that takeaway-wise, like, offensive line looks really good. Give you mine really quick. Like, the linebackers when I went out there, I was like, yeah, you know, people are talking about the depth, and I get it, but just seeing some of the guys like a Nesta and a Kip Lewis and a Cole Sullivan, and you know, there are clearly types there who can go play. And that Jeremiah Newcomb, who is still somewhat limited, but learning his new role at Cheetah with Reggie, like, I like those guys, man, and I've heard some good things about them. I've heard some good things about the safeties as well, the DBs. Like, I still think that they're pretty solid in the back seven-ish, and you watch those guys operate. Like, it's still a pretty, like, well-seasoned veteran group. I'm excited about those guys.
I agree, and, you know, Cole Sullivan, not that he does – I don't know if he really in my mind, he doesn't. I don't mean to step on your toes if you were going to – I don't know if he would fall into a riser for the net for what we're going to get into.
I don't think so.
Because he's just too big a name, but he's had a good camp. I mean, by all accounts, we talked to him yesterday. I think he's been pretty pleased with because the biggest question was not the ability. Like, Cole can play. So we know that, big dude, covers a lot of ground, but can he just learn the defense fast enough to do everything they want him to do? I mean, it's a complicated defense, and he's a guy who they're going to want to lean on or be able to lean on. And it sounds like it's going pretty well based off what Cole has said, and just kind of, you know, again, it's spring. It's mostly positive vibes at this time. Fully acknowledge that. But it sounds like it's going pretty smooth. And so I'm excited to see Cole play in the spring game as well. Just, and obviously this season, certainly, but just to get him out on the field, because he is one dude that you saw him at Michigan last year. You see highlights or tape or whatever. We met him at the media day. We see him at practice a little bit. It just in a game setting, that's exciting. So I'm with you. I mean, I'm excited about the linebacker room.
I'm with you. I don't know that you can call one of the biggest gets of the portal window for Oklahoma a riser.
Right.
When like
he's going to start. You know,
that guy's going to be a starter. But I guess for me, it's like you see him out there and you can see the vision, dude. Like, he is a body type in that back room that they haven't had, specifically inside backer. And you can tell he's still assimilating and transitioning, but the raw talent is so clear. And what Venables can turn him into, there's already that hype buildup with him being on campus a matter of months.
For sure. And so, you know, that kind of segues into the negative thing of the week, which, I mean, it's just the big blow is that they lost Taylor Heim. Obviously, Taylor Heim, a guy that we had penciled in as – a potential option. Certainly, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns in that linebacker room. We can circle this into an Owen Heineke combo a little bit as well, in that there was a lot of thought that this guy, you know, he's been in the program for a long time, potential Cheetah option. Not that he's going to be Kendall Daniels by any means, because they don't just make Kendall Daniels. He is a, you know, an alien. But he could kind of serve that role a little bit, you know, similar. And he, you know, we were told earlier this week, reported it, you know, to our VIP members, this is why you subscribe and be with us, reported to our VIP members that, you know, he went down with an injury this week, didn't sound real good. And look, we don't know anything concrete, so I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here, but he was not at practice yesterday when we were out there. indications are not good. I'll just say that for Taylor Heim, which you hate it for him. It's a guy who's been around. He's been in the program. He's kind of been biding his time, waiting for an opportunity. That felt like it was going to come this year. And now, obviously, a big setback for him. But, Colin, a bit of a blow. I mean, we're talking about this linebacker room that, you know, we feel we like it. We're excited. Obviously, you have Kip, who is a known commodity, and Cole Sullivan. And we like this young talent. But Heim was a guy who was, I'm pretty sure, was going to play quite a bit, or at least have a chance to play quite a bit. And that goes out the window. And it, you know, the injury conversation, if you want to kind of take it outside of just Heim, is kind of you know, not great. I mean, X-Rob and Blaylock are on the shelf. Trell Harris is out. Elijah Thomas is out. Parker Livingston's been a little nicked up. A lot of guys on offense are hurt right now. And I don't think anything that would affect the season, at least as of right now, but this is valuable time. You know, the spring is useful. They don't just do it for fun. You know, this is useful time that those guys are missing. So not to be too negative or anything, but that there's some injuries that kind of suck, frankly, for Oklahoma right now. And obviously the biggest one is Heim, because it sounds like his season will be impacted potentially significantly.
Yeah, Ivan Carrion in like a sling. Jacob Curry, who was someone we heard a ton in workouts, has gone down, and that's another potential cheetah linebacker option that you thought, okay, well, if he's doing this in the winter, what can he do in the spring? And now we won't really know. But while it is a negative, the silver lining here, and I don't mean to spin it too much, but it's just something I feel really important to reiterate to any member of the fan base that's concerned, is it's like, they knew this was going to be the case going in. I mean, Brent acknowledged it almost immediately when spring media day arrived. It's like, hey, we got a lot of guys dinged up. Even the guys we took in the portal, we knew were dinged up.
Yeah.
And their mantra going into the spring was, you know, take it cautiously with a lot of these guys. And like JerMichael Carter, you know, dinged up. And it's like, all right, well, Brent talked about he's rehabbed well, and sometimes I think he's been in a boot, if I remember correctly. But it's like, you know, JerMichael Carter, like, this is his first real true offseason. There's no sense in forcing the issue with that guy, just making sure he's healthy for the fall. And that's kind of the common theme for a lot of these guys, is it's like, it's unfortunate a lot of dudes are having to sit out and they're not a full go. And it's impacted some position groups that people wanted to see maybe take a step. But at the same time, man, it's all about the fall. It is all about the fall. And to segue someone into our next topic, it is opening the opportunity for other guys on campus to get some reps and make a name for themselves as well.
100%. It has definitely opened the door for some other guys, especially I would say in the wide receiver room, running back too, to an extent. But, you know, it's not ideal, obviously. And like you said, a couple of those linebackers, which is unknown. And I mentioned Owen Heineke, you know, that saga, I believe, will be finally over this time next week, you know, because they have the hearing on Thursday. I've said it many times. I'm not going to pretend to know exactly how it all works. But basically, my understanding is that they're going to have their case right in front of the courts next Thursday, the NCAA versus Owen Heineke, and we're going to know if they're going to get the you know, granted the injunction or whatever that he needs to be able to play this season. Like, I think next week, this time, the case is on Thursday, so Friday next week, we should know if they're going to have Owen Heineke or not. I have no clue which way this is going to go. It sounds like a coin flip to me. I mean, I think there's been kind of a thought that, like, oh, he'll get it, and he very well might get it. But I do think that, you know, the NCAA, is, you know, they have a – I mean, by the letter of the law, Owen Heineke, he, you know, that year at Ohio State, it's stupid, but it does count, right? I mean, there's a reason that he's in this pickle to begin with. So, you know, they offered their rebuttal last week, or maybe it was earlier this week. I can't even remember. And, you know, so we'll see. I mean, they're prepared to fight it, obviously, the NCAA. They're going to try and keep him from getting this year. So we'll know this time next week. That's huge, though, especially with a couple of these injuries. I mean, it's kind of big. You don't want to say it doesn't – you don't want to overstate it. Like, it makes or breaks they're going to win the national title or not or something. But it's a big deal. And we'll know next week if Owen Heineke is going to be on this team or not. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean – That's probably a good topic that you guys will address on the Monday pod, so I won't nail it home too hard. And now it's got my head thinking, are we about to do an emergency podcast about a court case for the first time?
Maybe. That's I don't know how that works. And our own Tom Green, obviously, is intending, I believe, to go. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if he's going to be at the Norman court offices or whatever all day. I have no clue how any of this works. It's way above. I'm too dumb for this stuff, to be honest.
I'll say this. So without doubt, because you guys will probably talk about it on Monday.
I'm sure we will.
A court case preview, maybe. The people that I talked to, there was a hope or a level of optimism that I personally, reading the tea leaves, was like, okay, this seems encouraging. And I want to say that the judge is an OU graduate.
He is, yes. OU law.
That said, when the NCAA's rebuttal was offered, it sounds like that case is at least making things murky. And so I'm with you. I think it's about as 50-50 as maybe it's been, which probably is an unfair statement on my end. But like, I'll tell you this, man, Owen Heineke's been out there and he's itching. And if they, why, to your point, like that's one of their best overall football players. So yeah like you want that guy. And whatever happens, I am excited to talk about it because I'm so interested in what's about to take place.
No doubt. I mean, by the end of the season last year, and they got into the playoff game, he had swallowed up a lot of the snaps. I mean, he'd taken time away from other guys, from McKenzie. I mean, that's why he's not here anymore. I mean, that happened, you know. So definitely going to be very interesting. I think finally, we're going to know one way or another. I think that's the end of the road. Unless there's another wrinkle I don't know about, but I think this time next week, by the time we get to the spring game, we should know. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting next week for sure.
The Sooners Illustrated podcast will be back after this short break.
All right, before we get out of here, I wanted to make sure to do what we teased it. Biggest risers of camp. So we're in the back end of camp here. Still a little ways to go. Have another week until the game. And then there's actually a couple practices after the game, which is very weird for us. That's not, you know, that's unusual for us. I know teams have done that before, other schools. But for all intents and purposes, we're on the back end of it, right? I mean, we're in the home stretch of camp. Colin, obviously, you've been at all the camp stuff with us, but then also, you know, you're talking to people around the program all the time, myself as well. For you, just who do you think has done the best for themselves? I have four names. I have two names on each side of the ball, and a couple of them have been kind of halfway touched on already. But where do you go as far as guys that maybe not necessarily like their opinion, your opinion of them changed, but they did really well for themselves the last few weeks? I have a few names that come to mind. Where do you go first? What pops
up? Let's get this conversation started. The discussion surrounding McKenzie Alleyne right now is a little bit frustrating for me.
He's one of my four. Yeah.
Here's why. There are certain individuals out there who, in a matter of breaths, okay, will go from, I can't wait to see who the next Owen Heineke or Taylor Wine is, to complaining and being angry about the fact that somebody like a McKenzie Alleyne is making plays for receiver. And that makes no sense to me. Yeah. I don't get that. From everything that we have heard, and at this point, it is now very much accessible to everybody. I mean, Oklahoma is putting this guy on a pedestal with some of the clips that they have put out, with the recent interviews that we've done. But like I noted it in that giant notes package that I put together, they put out his, you know, big grab or a touchdown. And that was like one of a few different plays, big plays he had in a scrimmage from what I was told. And then he had the one-handed catch in practice. And like the list goes on. And he put it very appropriately himself. He's like, these are the plays I know I'm capable of making. And I want to prove that to everybody. And I think that for some reason, some people are not celebrating this. They're choosing to take a cynical view of it. And I understand part of it's the injuries at receiver. And listen, am I here trying to convince you that McKenzie Alleyne is going to be a 500-plus-yard wide receiver for them this season? Ideally, that's not the case, right? Because your top three receivers are supposed to go make football plays. But, like, I don't know, man. I just think that this has been really cool to see. He seems like a great guy. He is someone who went from a former walk-on to an injury that hampered him and is now, like, making a name for himself. He seems like somebody who's deserving of it. And it's clear whether, you know, you have one opinion of it or not, like, the plays he is making is undeniable. And we have been told he is getting first-team reps right now, which is, number one, part of the injuries, but number two, like, he's earning everything he's gotten, and I'm pulling for the guy is my final thought.
For sure. No, I mean, without question, one of my guys that I thought of for this right away, because this was definitely a name that hand up before camp. If you had asked me, I would have said very little to no shot this guy has a role for Oklahoma, just being honest. But he's had a great camp, and guys have been hurt, which have opened the door for that. We talked to him last night. I asked him, you know, I'm sure you'd rather everyone be healthy, but guys are out. Is this an opportunity for you right now? And he said, without a doubt. I mean, like, I got to take advantage of every rep while these guys are out. I'll say, I want them to come back. I want everyone to be healthy. But while they're out, I you know, it's more opportunity for me, you know, basically is kind of what he said, which is the right attitude, you know. And so he's having a great month. And I think a lot of that skepticism is probably met with the simple reality that Oklahoma has not really shown recently a willingness to play more than like three or four receivers, right? And so Satania, Livingston, and Trell Harris, you throw in a Jermichael Carter, maybe an Elijah Thomas. Like, how many of these guys are actually going to play? Because recently it hasn't been more than just a handful. Maybe that's different this year, though. I don't know. But he's definitely had a great camp, without a doubt. And again, we're talking about guys who have risen. He went from really probably not even in the convo for me to definitely in the convo. I mean, I would think if they had to put out a depth chart today, he's on it. You know, he's in the 2D. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, here's probably the best way I can phrase it. Like, I know a lot of fans rightfully want more rotation at receiver. A lot of people want to see this Oklahoma team lean on more bodies at wideout and not be so top heavy. Well, if that's going to get accomplished, somebody like a Mackenzie Aline stepping up this way is part of that pathway to do so. Right. Yeah. And so I think that's another reason why it should be celebrated and is being celebrated is because like, hey man, Jaden Petit, Jasir Rogers, those guys are, I mean, they're extremely talented, right? They're still freshmen. And we know how the freshman discourse can go before the season arrives. Well, this guy clearly has it. And if you're telling me that, hey, maybe he ends up just being a rotational body at receiver, I think that that's something that everybody could get behind, especially Mackenzie Aline, who's putting in the work right now.
No doubt, no doubt. Sticking on offense for me, we already kind of touched on him earlier, but I'll throw it out there again. Lloyd Avant. Lloyd Avant's another riser for me. You know, kind of a similar situation somewhat to Aline in that guys are hurt, and so opportunity is there to go take advantage of it. And by all accounts, Lloyd Avant is, and like I said, kind of, you know, not quite to the extreme of Mackenzie Aline, but kind of similar. I mean, if you had asked me before camp, where does Lloyd Avant fit in? I don't think I would have said no role, but I probably would have been like, I don't know, frankly. Now it's kind of feeling a little more like, yeah, I could see him getting on the field. Just seeing him in practice, the build, he's a little bit bigger dude than I realized. He has been very open about wanting to make an impact in the kick return game, which Oklahoma has just abandoned recently, right? I mean, last year they just didn't return kicks. Maybe that's different this year with the Lloyd Avant back there. I don't know. That's just, you know, that's a question to be answered later. But I think Lloyd Avant is a guy. He had some nice moments in the scrimmage last week, it sounds like. And just, you know, again, they're missing running backs. He's kind of the top guy. It's him and the two freshmen, Hatton and DeZephon Walker, who you could throw in this convo as well. But Lloyd Avant, you know, as of right now on April 10th, I would think would get carries, you know, to start the season. How many? What that looks like? I don't know. And part of this is that we have a new – it's Dylan McCullough. It's not DeMarco Murray anymore, so we got to kind of learn him, you know. But I feel like Lloyd Avant has definitely done some good stuff for himself. Again, kind of similar to Aline in that guys are hurt and he's taking advantage of it. I think he's bought himself potential opportunity with what he's done the last few weeks.
I mean, and I've talked about it too. I've always felt like this is somebody who's going to potentially give you that third down back capability. And if anything else, could provide a little bit of a receiving threat out of the backfield too, which, you know, you've got guys like Xavier Robinson, Torrey Blaylock, really good football players, but Avant seems to have the highest ceiling there as potential third down back. And
yeah,
he's continued to prove that he has a little bit of athleticism to him. Like he's a veteran presence. And again, he's smooth. Like I think he's a riser, another guy that had nice moments in the scrimmage too. Right. And so
right,
he's one for me. The other one that I wanted to touch on quickly, certainly debated, but I would probably argue this guy is ascending relative to the specific role and the impact he's provided, is Amarion Harris at offensive tackle.
Yeah.
I think when he transferred, and I know you've talked about this a decent amount, when he transferred, it was like, awesome. They got an SEC offensive lineman. Is Foje the guy? Is Foje going into guard? Is it Harris or is it Zaida? Like, it wasn't so many people talk about, well, everyone should be competing for their job all the time. Amarion Harris has come in, and he took the inside track at right tackle immediately. But for me, what was kind of illuminating, I guess, and why I view him as a riser is, like, everyone I've talked to has highlighted this guy as someone who has, quote, pushed the room. Like, he has come in, and right there with Jake Michaela is, like, a leader and a veteran presence that these still – younger guys on the offensive line, and Foje and Ozaida and Fasusi and EPL, they go to. And Amarion talked about how, like, he has really enjoyed being part of an offensive line group that hangs out all the time. They go to each other's houses and eat dinners together away from the facility, and they're around each other all the time. And it sounds like through that, his impact is being felt on and off the field in a number of different ways. And, like, I think we knew he was going to have a role in this team. He's a riser for me because it's like, it feels like this guy in a matter of weeks to months is making it known he is, like, a leader for this group. And you absolutely welcome that, especially, again, with a position group like the offensive line. So many people wanted to see them take the next step. It sounds like Harris is facilitating that rise in a sense.
Yeah, it just feels like it's becoming increasingly harder to imagine him not being on the field quite a bit, the way this has kind of gone. And we've talked about it. And I mentioned on Monday with Tom, we kind of talked about some of the position battles that we're very interested in. Offensive line and that hodgepodge of Ozaida, Foje, Harris, like that musical chairs is really interesting to me. And I don't feel like it's certainly not going to be sorted out by the end of spring. It's going to bleed into the fall, I'm sure. It's it's very interesting stuff right now. Anything else on offense? I have a couple of defensive names, but let's go to defense. Where should I begin here? Let's start. We've already kind of touched on him a little bit.
While you're vetting that out, can I give an honorable mention to Whit Neubauer and Bo Bentley real quick?
Sure.
Sounds like the QB2s have been.
Sure. It's interesting.
I got a note that Whit Neubauer in the scrimmage had some people going, ooh. So, you know, Whit Neubauer has always kind of been one of those guys. You know, Bo is one of my guys. Just shout out to the QB2s in that battle that's been going on. It sounds like it's been really productive.
Interesting. Okay. QB2, I mean, we talked about it, you know, earlier this week. I mean, the reality is that under Brett Venables, Oklahoma has needed their backup quarterback a lot. So it's definitely an interesting conversation there. And I agree. I've heard good things as well, especially Bo. I mean, Bo's the freshman guy comes in. There's always a lot of excitement, but it's been a lot of positive feedback early on for Bentley. On defense, you know, we mentioned him earlier. I'll go ahead and throw it out there to start. It sounds like it's been a very good camp for James Nesta. And look, this is a guy that they're going to need. I mean, almost certainly they're going to need. And did you notice who broke down practice yesterday? It was
James Nesta.
You know, third-year guy making a big jump, theoretically. And look, some of the injuries have created even more of a need. We don't know what's going to happen with Owen Heineke. But, like, this guy is kind of it's your moment sort of a spot for him. Other guys have left the room. He's been around. He's developed. He's, you know, mature. I mean, he's gotten bigger. Like, he's obviously not playing baseball anymore. Like, that's far in the rear view. Like, he's kind of a full go on this. And by all accounts, had a pretty good camp. And I'm just, you know, he's someone that, again, it's a football team. No one guy makes or breaks a season outside of maybe, I guess you could argue, the quarterback sometimes. But one of the more important guys, if you made me rank like four or five guys that if I could guarantee right now that they pop and they have a good season, that it would be huge. He probably is in that combo. Like, it would make a world of difference if James Nesta can be what they hope he can be. And by all accounts, he's had a pretty good camp. I'm kind of in on this guy playing quite a bit this year, which they're going to need him to, but it feels like it's going pretty well for Nesta.
I've heard really good things about Nesta. I think the big takeaway with him has been how I believe Brent said focused is kind of the phrase that's being thrown around. I've heard he has been as dedicated to learning and understanding and getting better as anybody. And I noted it in the big notebook that I assembled. A quote that got skipped over, in my opinion, was Brent Venables on the record saying, "We are training that guy at multiple positions."
Mm.
And I have heard that he is, in fact, being slotted at multiple different positions in this defense. They want to get this guy on the field. And even if Owen Heineke gets his grant, and all of a sudden that linebacker room has Kip and Cole and Owen and James, like, I'm not putting it past them to still find ways to get him on the field, even with some other proven presences. He is easily at the top of the list for me. In the interest of time, I will just say one of my big risers is the backup defensive tackles, like all of them.
That was my other one. I'll go and throw it out there so you can keep going. My other defensive one was Trent Wilson. It's been good. It's been really good. He is a terrifying human. I mean that in a good way. Just a big dude. And yesterday, we were out there, practice yesterday, right at the end of the open session. They were doing some half-line drill stuff. Back-to-back, just completely blew up the play. And I can't recall immediately. You know, we've covered him for this, you know, what is this, the fifth year now we've covered him. I can't remember seeing Todd Bates get that excited, like, ever. He was ecstatic with what Trent Wilson did yesterday. He was, that's how you play. Like, he was really excited about what Trent Wilson was doing. He looks great. He's huge. He feels very David Stoney to me. Like, it just kind of, like, you see, like, after Stone had that first year where he didn't really play, and like that second year coming back, it was like, oh boy, starting to come together a little bit. That feels like what we're doing with Trent Wilson. Like, it's just, he's climbing. He looks the part, just like that Mack truck defensive tackle. I'm in. Cause I wondered, like, yeah, so we talked about it, the depth after Stone and Jackson, like Bishop Thomas, you know, Nigel Smith, we've heard a lot of good things about. Like, is Trent Wilson ready to be a guy like that in year two? Like, I don't know, but it seems like yes. That answer is yes. So I'm with you on the D tackle. I mean, Trent Wilson in particular, he was my other one. I just feels like his name's come up a lot as far as guys who have done some good stuff the last few weeks.
Yeah, I don't need to say much more on Trent Wilson. He's been really good. You've heard a bunch about Nigel. Bishop Thomas, it sounds like they're really pleased about where he's at, what he has provided, who he is on and off the field. Bishop Thomas has done well. And then Bishop Thomas told us, man, Tankosaurus is the nickname for Tank Carrington.
Tank Carrington. That's a good one. Yeah.
So Tankosaurus, apparently, from what I have heard, is challenging at the top with some of those other guys that have been around. And so, you know, Tank Carrington is a guy that, you know, maybe we don't talk about enough, but he's another one that's had some really nice moments in the spring. And that whole group collectively, it sounds like they're meeting the moment in a sense. And we're not going to know for sure until the fall, right? But it just sounds like collectively those backup defensive tackles as a group have been solid and feeding off of each other.
And what's my honorable? This whole thing, the theme, opportunity. Same thing there. I mean, Stone and Jackson are both on the shelf. I think very cautious for both. I don't think both guys are going to be fine, but they're both being kind of basically held out right now. And so, hey, man, all those other guys, like, there it is. Go get it. This is the time. Yeah. Every practice is an opportunity to try and impress Todd Bates, impress Brent Venables, and try to buy yourself, you know, an opportunity. So, and a lot of guys are doing it.
I wanted to quickly mention on the way out the honorable mentions as far as risers. You know, Boganowski, it sounds like he's stepping into his starting role pretty well.
Yeah.
I've heard that like the Bowens have had a really good spring and all that, but one name that was brought up to me a time or two, as far as like having a solid spring, Jacoby Johnson. Like,
yeah, a little bit of an overlooked, forgotten name there.
But they gotta have somebody in that corner group step up. Yeah. And if it is Jacoby, I've heard a time or two, man, he's been pretty solid this spring. So that's a guy that's easy to pull for as well.
Yeah, with you. We've noted him a couple times. I would throw Morgan Robinson maybe in there a little bit. I mean, they're going to need – Brent Venables said on Tuesday, I can't remember who asked about the safety room, but he said they want to have six guys, and it was like, whoa, where are you getting six from? I mean, I think right now we're all thinking like you have three for sure. Not that the other guys can't, but it's just a lot of unknowns in that safety room. And I trust Brandon Hall completely. His position has been great, and I love Peyton Bowen. Really like Michael Boganowski, and I'm in on Amarion Robinson. I've been in, you know, for a while. But after that, I mean, it's a lot of just, I mean, Markel Ford, Jandro. I mean, it's young dudes, you know. So interesting, though. The safety room is very interesting. Kind of looks the depth of it. You know, where does it kind of stand up for that top group? I don't really know. But, you know, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Excited to see all these guys in the spring game next weekend. Obviously a big opportunity for all of them to get out on the field and look forward to it. Anybody else out there? I think we've covered just about everyone I had.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know, man. It's I will say to your point on the safety stuff, when you really think back to this past season, they played Jaden Hardy, Michael Boganowski, Reggie Powers, all those guys a lot as the backup safeties.
Yeah.
And Amarion Robinson was getting looks at times in the back end of the year. So, yeah, like they play a lot of safeties. They let a lot of guys out there last year and to go make plays. And I am curious to see how they can replicate the depth that they had at safety a year ago.
These dudes play on special teams a lot too. I mean, obviously Jaden Hardy had one of the biggest plays of the season on special teams, you know, with the strip against Alabama. That was huge, you know, so interesting stuff. It's a fun group. I mean, and obviously we'll kind of really wrap up the spring after the spring game, but it's been a pretty productive camp. Some of the injuries are a little, you know, you hate it, but it's kind of just the way it go. It's going to happen. But it feels like vibes are pretty high, which it usually is in the spring, but I feel like, you know, some of the questions are being a little more answered over the last few weeks. So good stuff. Well, CK, appreciate you. Enjoy the 7-on-7 stuff. Get through it. And next week, we're kind of finishing up. The belief is that there will be more camp stuff on Monday. Don't know what that looks like. Tom and I might shift the show to Tuesday. We'll have to discuss that. So keep an eye on that either way. And then Colin and I will be back on likely Thursday to set the table for the spring game. And then we'll have the spring game next Saturday down in Norman. Colin will come up. And we'll all cover the thing in person. We'll have an instant reaction on the field like we do during normal games, Colin and I, and we'll kind of put a bow on spring. Kind of feels like it went by kind of quick. You know, it always kind of does. It's like you wait forever for it, and it's like, boom, spring game next weekend, just like that. So but look forward
to it. To be fair, spring game's usually like one of the last weekends of April, it feels like. This is
a little early, yeah.
Yeah, feels like it is a little bit early, to your point.
Which, like we said earlier, there's a couple of practices scheduled for after the spring game, which is, you know, I guess they could theoretically not use them. I know, like, is that Indiana, Cincinnati kind of started that a little bit. I think they're going to use them. I don't know. But it's a little different than the normal, so that is part of it. Anyway, that's it. We'll be back next week. Again, keep an eye out for camp stuff on Monday. Tom, I might wait to do the show until Tuesday. Either way, though, camp stuff Monday, keep an eye out for that. And then Colin and I will set the table on the recruiting side for the spring game on Thursday. Then we'll have the spring game full coverage all day from Norman on the site and here on the YouTube channel next Saturday. So that's it for now. For Colin Kennedy, I'm Josh Calloway signing off. We'll see you next time right back here as always on Sooners Illustrated.